Please be seated. I'm going to invite Andy to come and join me. I'd like to pray for you. Is that okay? Yeah, right. Let's pray together then. Let's thank the Lord for these offerings, these tithes and offerings. And let's pray for our brother here. Father, we just thank you for all the things that you give to us, all the good things that you give to us. And Lord, we want to give back a part of those things to you, to use in the furtherance of your kingdom, not just here, but in lands over the seas. Lord, just bless those monies, Lord, we pray. And Father, I just lift my brother Andy to you now, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would anoint him afresh now, right where he's standing. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fall upon him, touch his life, and refresh him, Lord, as he comes to pour out to us tonight. Lord, that may that be an outpouring from yourself, Lord. Father, touch lives here tonight, we pray. Just use your servant here now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's been a nice couple of days in Gloucester. I went to, I popped in to see the Rakes rooms. Have you been there recently?
I have, yeah.
Isn't it nice? You've got these funny little rooms there. And you can go in there and almost be completely private. It's really peaceful and nice there. It's really good. Good. So I want to just do a little encouragement to go at the back and get one of my books because they're going to be gone after tonight. It's your last opportunity to get the new book refreshed and renewed. It's a daily reading for every day for a whole year. Just a page, 53 little chapters with a scripture. And then my other book, True Relationships, that's over there too. I'm going to speak from Mark chapter 2. You might like to open your Bible or just listen, that's fine. Mark chapter 2. What we're going to do tonight is I'm going to speak and then at the end we're going to have a little bit more music and worship. And then I'm going to invite you to come. If you want to come forward for prayer, for either yourself or for someone, you can come forward. I went to a church recently in Dudley, near Manchester, and the minister asked me to speak and to give some kind of impartation in evangelism. Not just to speak words, but for the people to receive something from God, his spirit, an enabling, so they can go out and be effective. That's what he wanted. Teaching wasn't enough. It's great. We need to be taught. But we need more. We need to be inspired. But we need more. We need to have his spirit. But we need more. We need to be full of his spirit. But we need more. We need to be free. But we need more. And more is available. So this is what he wanted. So when I asked them to come out for prayer, I had a feeling that I was going to get a lot of people coming out. But they all came out. When I say all, I mean all. I thought, I'm in Nigeria. I'm not in England. Every single person, there wasn't one left. And I wasn't there all night. I don't think I asked more than one or two people, at the most, of quite a big group of people, what they came out for. It wasn't a counselling session. So I started from this side and just worked through a brief prayer as I felt led, anointed some with oil. So tonight, there's going to be an opportunity for you to respond for yourself or for someone else. So I'm going to speak from Mark chapter 2, and I pray that even as I speak now, don't wait to the end. I pray that even as I speak, Jesus will touch your hearts. Mark 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. So many people gathered, there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Verse 4. Since they couldn't get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And he stops. And he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So we're told that Jesus had come back to Capernaum and that the people had heard he was back. They were expectant. And we're told that so many people gathered in that house, he was in a house, that there was no room left inside the house, not even outside. Outside, inside, full. And what was Jesus doing? He was preaching the word to them. And the word of Jesus brings healing, brings freedom, brings blessing, brings life. And the words of Jesus are the words that we have as in the Bible, but they can be the words of Jesus in other ways also. Jesus wants to speak to us and bring his word to us. And on this occasion, Jesus was preaching the word which was giving life. It was like a magnet. They were drawn to Jesus and his words. I'm continually, as I journey on following my Lord, drawn to Jesus and his words. And we're told in verse 3, some men came bringing him a man that was paralyzed, four friends. And they couldn't get nowhere near Jesus because there were so many people on the outside and inside of the house. But as we know, in those days, the houses had staircases that were on the outside that led to the flat roofs. So they took to that staircase, climbed the house. Now they were on top of the flat roof. These were four good friends. Somehow or other, these four people were going to get their paralyzed friend to see Jesus. They knew that Jesus could heal him. The man's greatest felt need was for healing. He was a cripple. So they climbed the staircase and then they began to literally break the roof. Can you imagine? They didn't ask for permission. They didn't write to the council. They didn't have an elders meeting. They didn't have a discussion. They just said, "Let's bust the roof. Let's take it apart." Jesus liked that kind of thing. So they made an opening and they literally lowered the man down through the roof. And verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, whose faith? It was the four men's faith. They carried him. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son," that's friendly. He didn't say, "Oi, man." He said, son. That's like caring, kind, fatherly, friendly, loving, son. Your sins are forgiven. But this man didn't come to have his sins forgiven. This man was paralyzed. They brought this man to Jesus so that he could be healed of his legs. But Jesus saw in this man that he also had another need. Perhaps he couldn't see the need even himself. Or perhaps he wouldn't admit to it. I think that was probably the case. He just wanted to walk. Forget my sins being forgiven. I just want to walk. But Jesus saw that he had another deep need, perhaps bigger than walking. So he said, son, your sins are forgiven. And then we get this interesting reaction from the teachers of the law, the slapheads. Jesus had more trouble with these religious people than any other group. These teachers of the law, these religious people were sitting there thinking. They weren't even muttering. They weren't even whispering. The Bible says they were thinking. And Jesus knew what they were thinking. Not because he read their body language. Not because he was a smart man. Because he was discerning. Because he moved in the spirit. He knew what they were thinking. He read them. And they were thinking, why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Only God can forgive sins. So their theology, what they believed about God, was wrong. It was rubbish. They had a little bit of truth and a lot of untruth. They thought, they believed. Only God can forgive sins. Well, there's truth in that. But who did they think Jesus was? Just a man? Who is Jesus? Just a man? Who is Jesus? A teacher? He's more. Who is Jesus? A prophet? He's more. He's a teacher. Yes. He's a prophet. Yes. He's so many things. So they didn't recognize or believe who Jesus was. They didn't think that his actions were right. Verse 8, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. I had a friend and he went to America to speak and to minister. And he came back and we had coffee together and he told me this story. I said, what have you been up to? He said, I've been to America. I said, what happened? He told me a story. He went to a place and a conference and a meeting that he was speaking at and ministering. And two men looked at him and said to him, well, if he was a prophet, he'd tell us what we had for breakfast. So my friend overheard this. And then sometime during the day, soon after, he says, excuse me, you two men, I want to tell you what you had for breakfast. So he told them what they had for breakfast, how much it cost to the cent, and the name of the place they had the breakfast in. That shut them up. A prophet was in the house. That's God. A woman came up to me one day, tapped me on the shoulder, famous woman, called Jean. I just mentioned her first name. Soon as she started speaking, I recognized it was her. I'm all ears, listening. She said, I believe I have a word for you. Can I give it to you? I said, yes. So she began to tell me what I'd been doing in the past. And she was right. Then she began to tell me what I'd do in the future. It's come true. That's the Lord. As he moves by his spirit. So what was happening here was that they were judging Jesus wrongly, and Jesus responds in verse 9 and he says, which is easier? He says, why are you thinking these things? Why? Why are you thinking like this? Your thinking's wrong. Their thinking was wrong. If our thinking is wrong, we will not be in a place of freedom and blessing. They didn't have the truth. And Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. So it's when we know the truth and walk in the truth. You can know the truth but not walk in it. Or you may not walk in the truth because you don't know it. The result is the same. There's no progress. There's no life. So Jesus said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that I, the Son of Man, has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he turned to the man. Because it's easy for you and I to say that. It won't be true, but it's easy to say it. Your sins are forgiven. But what is easier? Let's keep it simple, because it's simple. Which is easier? There's only one answer. To say these words, or to say to a man that's paralyzed, get up, walk. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. It was an instruction. It was a command. He just spoke the word. Get up. Take your mat. Go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And everybody was amazed and praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Well, this is our Lord. He's a man who speaks. He's a man who has the word of life, and he is someone who heals and brings freedom and life. Now, we all have some kind of need, one way or the other. And sometimes no one else knows about what that is even. And we just keep it to ourselves. Sometimes we may be struggling with something, and we keep that to ourselves. But we're longing for freedom. We'd like to be free. Some of us here tonight are sick. Some of us here tonight know people who are sick. I had a friend called Joseph, and he got ill, and I couldn't get to him. So I prayed for him, prayed over a handkerchief, anointed it with oil, sent it to him, and told him to put it under his pillow for 3 days. He spoke to me after a few days and said, I'm well. We read in the Bible that when they couldn't get to them, they prayed over handkerchiefs. There's nothing magic about the handkerchiefs at all. There's nothing weird or wrong in it. They just prayed over them and sent them out. We read in the Bible that even as the apostles walked and their shadows were cast over the sick people, without even them laying hands on them, they were healed. We read in the Bible when Peter and John were released because they were in prison, and the church prays together and has a prayer meeting, that their prayer was that God will stretch out his hand to heal and save. And the place was shaken, and the word went out with power. So we read about these things. I remember the first time I went to Nigeria, I'm doing two things at the same time. I'm preaching a simple story about Jesus, like Bartimaeus being healed or something. And at the same time, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do, what I believe God wants me to do. And one night, I had this thought. It was dark. Hundreds of people in front of me in southern Nigeria. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm finishing now. We're going to call them up. We're going to pray for them. And I said to the Lord, if you don't turn up, you're sunk. Not me. I may go down too, but you're sunk. And this is what I felt. I felt the wink of God upon my life, upon me, like this. Andy,
I like it when you're crazy. Because I said to the Lord, I'm pushing the boat out tonight. This was in the early days that we began to pray for the sick. I'm pushing the boat out tonight. We're going to pray for the sick in an unusual way. I'm going to call people out with certain diseases. We're going to pray for them. We did that. And then I turned to my friend Sam, the pastor, and said, Sam, what do we do now after having this amazing prayer time? I said, shall we call them up for testimony? He said, yes, call them up for testimony. This is what we do. I said, good. So we called the first person up, then there was a queue. There was a row of women and men waiting. I remember one particular woman that I prayed for. I like fought with her. I fought for her in prayer. I battled with her in the crowd. I got stuck with this one woman for some minutes as my team and as we prayed for the people. I stayed with her for some minutes. She was one of the first to get in the queue and give testimony. She gave a testimony that as we prayed for her, something from her body, some disease from her body, fell out of her and she was cured. So I'm going to ask the worship group to come up now. And I'm going to ask you, if you'd like prayer tonight, for anything. We're going to anoint you with oil. If you'd like to come up for prayer for somebody, not for yourself, you can take a handkerchief. You can tell me the person's name. We will pray for the person. You can give the handkerchief to the person. They can put it under their pillow for 7 days, knowing that we have prayed for them. Tell them we've prayed for them and we're believing God for them. Shall we stand? So you can come out for anything. I had one woman come out recently in a meeting. She said, I'd like to speak in tongues.
We're finished now, but it may be helpful if there's one or two people that wanted to share, give a little testimony of what you feel the Lord's done for you tonight. And in the next few weeks, you know, there may be some space for, tell your minister, Colin, what the Lord does for you this week and next week so that you can encourage one another. Is there one or two people that would like to share something tonight? Tony?
Thank you, Andy. Some of you... No, most of you don't. I had a bit of an accident this morning. I fell out of the bath. I was having a shower and I have to step up into the bath. And for some reason, the curtain was behind me, so I'm facing the wall. And I went backwards and my legs were left in the bath. But my back hit the floor and it reminded me of a wrestling match. Yeah. Where they slam them on the ground. Bang! Yeah. And I was winded. And I hit my head, and I just called on the Lord because the pain was terrible. And the brethren prayed for me before the service this morning, and I maybe 50% better. And I got through the service and so on, and I thought, thank you, Lord, you know. Andy prayed for me tonight because there were still twinges, but it's absolutely perfect. I couldn't get my socks on this morning. But I can get down to my shoes now. And I praise God. That's our Jesus. And I've also got heart trouble, as you know. It's AF, where my heart's, it's atrial fibrillation. So it's sort of going like this instead of boom, 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 boom. It's going all over the place. Well, I thought, do you know, when I was on the floor and I couldn't get up, but I was in a lot of pain, but I thought, maybe God's given my heart a real thump shock. Because I felt like my whole body had been shocked. So, I don't know. Anybody got a stethoscope? Can you hear what's happening? Because I wouldn't be surprised if that's done as well.
Okay. I think it's very right, isn't it? We thank Andy for spending this weekend with us, and we'd like to just thank you in Brunswick Baptist Church for being with us, not just today, but yesterday as well. And we just thank you for being with us, but we also do pray that God's blessing to be upon your ministry. I know that you're constantly in touch with Philip, which is great, and perhaps Philip can give us some updates on how your ministry is going. So perhaps we can give him a round of applause. It's a way of our... Could I just ask where you're, the next place you're going to, or...
I'm going to speak to some Nigerian churches in London next week.
Okay.
And then soon after that, I'm going to Nigeria.
Brilliant. Okay, so we pray God's blessing upon you. Let's pray for Andy, shall we? Father God, we thank you that we're able to pray for each other, and we thank you that we're able to pray for your servant Andy. Father God, we thank you for his ministry this weekend. We thank you that you've used him to bless us. And Father God, as we pray now, we pray that our prayer may be a blessing and anointing upon him as well. Father God, we pray that you may give him those travelling mercies that he needs to get home. And as he plans to visit this church in London and then go to Nigeria, we just pray once again that you may be leading him to the things he needs to say. Help him, give him clarity of mind in his preparation. Give him clarity of mind as he prepares for those services and to meet those people. Father God, I know how difficult travel often is, and perhaps we don't look forward to travel, but we just commit those journeys to you and ask your blessing to be upon your servant in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.